to episode 227 of Magic the Amateuring.
That's right. If you're listening to this, congratulations, you've found it.
And if you're videoing this with your eye sockets, then congratulations, you've located with your vision seers.
That's right. These are two things that people do. We know because we are people.
We are definitely not aliens wearing human skins.
We're definitely not a pile of otters.
We're definitely not a pile of baby snakes wearing a dress.
Ooh.
But baby snakes.
Yeah.
Not you know, full-grown scary snakes.
Yeah, but, like, aren't all snakes just still snakes?
Well, yeah, that is accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, tiny little baby snakes.
Yeah. Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
I accidentally killed a spider yesterday, and I still feel bad about it.
Aww.
It was, like, in my room.
Yeah.
And it had these really long front legs. And it was climbing on the side of my bed, and I scared it down to the floor.
Yeah.
And then I went to go get a cup to put over it so I could, like, you know, take it outside.
Scoot it outside.
And as I put the cup over it, it, like, jumped forward, and I squished it with the cup.
Well, it's not your fault, you know. He made a break for it, and
I still just feel bad.
Probably left a nest behind of two.
No! I hate you. Like, don't.
Not in your house. Outside your house.
Okay, good. Like, that's where it needs to be. Look, I just feel bad. Like, I've been trying to. Look, I'm not I'm afraid of spiders. I have a big fear.
I mean,
I shrieked a lot while this was happening, and I didn't sweep it up until today. I just put the cup over the dead spider and left it.
Did you say a few words?
Like, eek? I said eek a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, but anyway, like, I've been trying to adopt this, like, live and let live policy with them. Because it's like, you know, they're just doing their thing.
They're just doing their spider thing.
So I feel bad.
Well, Anyways. Think of it this way. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and there's going to be a web knitted in the corner of your room that says, "Some Megan." I don't know why I said
why, Charlotte? Knitted. Why? Yeah.
But
the spider will not have, like, spun it. Little, the spider will have sat knitting there with four sets of knitting needles, one pair, like one for each of its pair of legs.
That is an interesting image.
Isn't it? Can you imagine a spider just, like, sitting back?
Sitting back with those little knitting needles?
Like, four knitting needles.
That is some magic card art if I've ever heard it before.
Oh, man. Anyways, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering, the card game.
Hello,
it's
I'm
not
Maria.
About spiders. I'm Megan.
And we're definitely not a pile of spiders.
Oh, God.
Inside a human skin hosting a podcast. Did I just make the grossest thing that's ever been said on the show?
Yeah,
unknown.
Maybe.
Probably top 10. But on today's episode, guess what we're going to talk about? Not spiders. We have a celebration. We do, because Megan here, this very Megan that you see before you
this
or hear
one
in your ears, has won a PPTQ.
What?
Yay! That's right.
Anyways, this is super exciting.
Yeah, she won a PPTQ, so we're going to talk all about that. She played in two this past weekend, so we're going to find out, you know, what was her secret strat to take down that PPTQ. She played in Standard and Limited, so we're going to hear about both of those. And this past weekend, we also had some modern tournaments. We had tournaments at Copenhagen and Kobe, so we're going to hear what decks are making a go for it in Modern, which is important because we got Vegas coming up.
That's right.
And Modern is one of the tournaments at Vegas that I will be playing in. And I really have to make a decision because I don't think Boggles is going to be good right now. In fact, I think it's going to be actively even worse than it was in San Antonio. So I got to figure something out.
But you've got it.
I do have it.
Sometimes this is a Modern.
Yes.
You know what? Sometimes
that's
the way
game
you
call.
Decide what you're going to play in Modern is you're like, what do I
have
physically
it?
Have?
I do have it.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We also have a Flavor Text Theater coming your way and a drawing because we've reached the end of the month. So some lucky patron is going to win some sweet stuff because we've got some more Card Kingdom battle decks to give away.
Ooh.
Speaking of Card Kingdom, you guys, they're our sponsor.
Hold
and they're
on.
Awesome. Megan's going to pull out some of these battle decks over here.
We have Black Metal and Flight Club.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. These are pretty sweet.
Thank you, Card Kingdom. Head to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast to buy your singles, your boosters. If you want to check out these battle decks or anything else that Card Kingdom has to offer, go through our affiliate link and they will know that you support us supporting them. And it's just a cycle of support.
Supporting you.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's a cycle. It's a support cycle.
It's a support cycle.
Which is one of
which
the cycles.
Your dryer?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, up top. Same joke. The support cycle is where you put yourself if you want to go in your dryer if you're having a down day.
Yeah.
Put me on support cycle. You know, when I was little,
what?
I thought that if you went in the dryer, you would shrink because my mom always was like, don't put them in the dryer. You know, those clothes will shrink. And so I thought that if I went in the dryer, I would become tiny size. And so
it's kind of amazing.
I was really into getting in that dryer, but it never worked
Thank
out.
Thank goodness you didn't, because you don't shrink. You just die.
Honey, I killed the kids. You ever see that movie? No, because terrifying.
Do you know what? I forgot about how the plot of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is where he puts his kids in the dryer and shrinks them down.
Yeah, that was
That's
the first
how it happens,
cut
right?
Before the like FCC was
and
like, whoa,
like
whoa,
wait,
whoa,
wait, 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 wait a second. We cannot encourage people to do this at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a fun child thing that I thought was true. For many years, actually. Anyway, support cycle, carkingdom.com/MTAcast. And of course, you all are in the support cycle too if you're a patron of ours. Patreon.com/MTAcast is where to go to join the less than 1% club, which, you know, if you don't know why we call it that, we call it that because literally less than 1% of people who listen or watch this show support us. So it is super important if you're able to, and if you think the show is something worth supporting, that you head over and donate as little as $1 an episode. And it makes an enormous difference in our lives and the content we create. Because you know what we've been doing, Megan?
What?
We've been making more content.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. There is a video out today.
It is.
On YouTube. You can go watch it. It stars none other than the professor himself and a friend of ours who looks alarmingly exactly like the professor's son. They are not related as far as we know.
As far as we know. But you never know.
In retrospect, looking at that video, it's like, wow, we could not have. If we had put out a casting call, we could not have done better.
No. So head over to youtube.com/MTAcast, hit that sub button, and check out our latest PSA. It's based on the famous I Learned It By Watching You PSA from the 80s. So I hope you enjoy it.
Go check it out.
Every Tuesday, we're going to put up a new video there, as well as every Thursday where you see the video version of this podcast. But this is new. This is new content we're giving to you on Tuesdays.
That's right.
You could call it YouTube Tuesdays or Tubes Days.
YouTube's days.
Yes, I love it. So next week we'll have another different video up there. If you want to catch it, go over and hit subscribe. I'm super excited about this. Megan, you also recently did a video which we tweeted out, which I just love, and it's perfect for Magic the Amateuring.
Yes, it is about players who went to their first pro tour. It is over on Daily MTG, or you can find it. We tweeted out a link to it. It's delightful. Everyone is charming. Maria edited it. It looks amazing.
Megan shot it. Looks great. Her first time shooting anything. Check it out.
Yo.
For the noobs, dying with cards in your hand.
Hey, everybody. As we mentioned, I went to two PPTQs this weekend, one of them more successful than the other. First, for the noobs, we're going to talk about the limited one, because I had a moment where I was just like, oh, that was a big mistake.
You had a moment.
I did have a moment. Okay. I had a big mistake moment where, so it was in the first round, and I think I was like, I was pretty narrow to win this match anyways. My opponent had some really powerful cards in their deck that were super sweet. They had like, you know, like a Glyph Keeper, which is just... That card is just nuts. That card is just nuts. And like an Honored Hydra. And like just overall like a very nice like Flyers, like a Flyers and creatures Beef. With a lot of protection. Yeah, strategy. So it was very good. But I think we were in the second game.
Yeah.
And I had seen Glyph Keeper and Honored Hydra. And then this round I had already seen the Honored Hydra. It was done for. We I had managed to get rid of it. It was gone. Oh, but there was still Glyph Keeper, that I hadn't seen yet, but that I was very worried about. And I had Dusk to Dawn in my deck, so I had already cast this Wrath, right? So I knew, like, I wasn't going to be able to just Wrath away the Glyph Keeper. And so I had a copy of the 5-mana black instant that exiles a creature, and I was like, and I had a Decimator Beetle. Which is the one that puts -1/-1 counters on things.
Yeah.
But the Decimator Beetle had been illusory wrappings, so it was an 0/2. And so I had this final reward in my hand, and I had this Decimator Beetle on the battlefield. Decimator Beetle on the battlefield.
Decimator Beetle on the battlefield.
Anyways, and it was, and my opponent was like kind of beating me down with the Top Crop Elite and some other flyers still. But they had tapped out and I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to attack with this O2 Beetle because you still get the trigger to put -1/-1 counters on things. And I was like, that's just sick value. So I attack with this Beetle, put a counter on the Top Crop Elite, and my opponent has the one in a white instant. It's an aftermath card that has like a green fight side, but it gets +2/+2 and lifelink and untaps it.
Yes.
So they do that to their Top Crop Elite, which they had exerted, and they go to block. And in my mind, I'm like, do you know what? They're just blocking this Decimator Beetle that already has this illusory wrappings on it anyways. I'm just going to let it die. And I ended up losing a couple turns later to an exerted Top Crop Elite, like that just keeps, you know, attacking in and buffing all these creatures. And a guy who had been sitting nearby watching the game was like, hey, did you ever think about casting that final reward on that Top Crop Elite? And in my mind, I was like, no, if I was ever going to win the game, I was going to need to somehow ping the Glyph Keeper to, like, you know, get through its barrier and then exile it.
Sure. You were really worried about that.
Exactly. But the point is that I was already losing the game to what was on the board. And I ended up dying with that final reward still in my hand because I didn't have enough black mana to cast two spells in my hand later on in the game.
Sure.
And so it was just one of those moments where it's just like, yeah, do you know what? Like, if my opponent had at some point drawn the Glyph Keeper, I was probably dead to it. Yeah. Although I had some Aven Initiates and stuff in my deck, so maybe not. But I was holding on to this final reward so hard.
Yeah.
And I just died without casting it. And, like, if I had cast it, there's a chance that I would have gone on to win that game.
Yeah.
So it just made me think about, you know, I feel like that's probably something that happens to me a little bit more often than it ought to, where I hold on to cards for better scenarios.
Yeah.
And I just die with those cards in my hand because I should have just freaking cast them.
This is like a tricky rope to walk because we don't want to be firing off our cards like Final Reward, which is premium removal.
Really good. Yeah.
On just anything, which is a problem that I have, which is I play too aggressively and I want to kill something, even if that is not going to be the thing that ends up either killing me or losing me the game. I'm just like, oh, I'm playing such a tempo game, but in reality, it's not a tempo game. So the reverse can also be true where you hang on to something like you did and you're like, oh, I cannot beat that Glyph Keeper, which is like a perfectly fine card to be scared of. But then you're like, oh, wait a second.
But you know what? If it's not on the battlefield and you're dying to something that is on the battlefield, like maybe you just need to freaking cast that spell.
Just like take your medicine.
Exactly. Here and then go. Like I would have been able to keep this beetle around and like I would have kept getting incremental value off of it. So like who knows what would have happened. So that was definitely a moment for me. I felt like my deck was like very medium. I was playing four colors and a lot of my rares.
Wow.
Which is, I didn't feel bad about that part.
Did you have Fixie?
I had two Gifts of Paradise, a Spring to Mind, a Fetid Pools, and a Painted Bluff.
Oh, sweet.
So it was like totally cool.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, my deck was kind of clunky. It was all right.
You know, the Decimator Beetle, by the way, PSA.
Yeah.
You obviously know this, but I did not just yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is probably bad. That the Decimator Beetle's abilities are not connected.
No, you don't have to remove a counter from something to put a counter on something else.
I was playing this and I was like, well, I don't have any counters to remove. And then I was like, wait a second.
I don't have to have any counters to remove.
It just puts one on there.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty great. Yeah. It's like that card, I counted that card as when I was like sorting my cards and what I wanted to play.
Yeah.
I counted that card as a rare.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
It's just insane.
It's pretty rare worthy.
It is. It is. It's just very good.
I was playing in a, speaking of sealed PTQs, I was playing in an online sealed PPTQ yesterday. And I started out 3-0, so I was super excited. And my first three games were not that difficult to win. So I was like, oh,
what were you playing?
Great.
What colors?
I was playing green and black, splashing red for a Merciless Javelinier, which is a worthwhile card to splash for, as well as an, you know, four mana Chandra's Four Damage.
Chandra's Four Damage and Electrify.
electrify, and which was fine too. I had a couple of ways to fix that with two decimator beetles in it.
Jeez.
So that was very good. I mean, it was pretty solid because of the two decimator beetles, and it just had, you know, a solid middle game. The problem was it didn't have very many early drops, and that's kind of how it failed in the final two rounds. But we both had a decimator beetle lesson.
Yeah, we sure did.
These past days.
We sure did.
A decimator beetle lesson.
I had a decimator beetle battle at some point. This is where you each have a decimator beetle.
Decimator beetle battle.
Yeah, decimator beetle battle. It was decimator beetles battling on the battlefield.
A decimator beetle battle.
Battlefield.
Was a battlefield that was battered. Did you have a battered decimator beetle on the bitter battlefield?
It was a fairly embattled decimator beetle battle.
On the bitter battlefield.
Yes, on the bitter battlefield.
Have you ever considered cooking your decimator beetle in some butter on the bitter battlefield?
I would never cook a decimator beetle in butter on the battlefield, whether it was bitter or not.
Have you ever eaten an insect? Side no. follow-up question?
No.
I'm trying to think if I have. Only by mistake when one flew into my mouth. PPTQ victory.
That's right. I also played a second PPTQ. It went a lot better than the first one.
Yeah.
Even though I literally went into it. So this is really funny. And a couple of people pointed this out on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they're like, congrats. They're like, you definitely hit that Planeswalker point threshold you were going for, right?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. You sure did.
Because I literally went into Sunday like 20 points short.
Ugh.
And I was like, do you know what? All I need is these 20 points. Like, awesome. It'll be super easy because, right, you know, you get the bonus for just showing, like, playing in this, and then a round bonus for victories. I'm like, literally, I need to win, like, a round today to hit that. Cool. And then, you know, like,
you get your bye.
You know, then, like, 6 tenths hours later, you know.
So I just want to I want to read a string of text messages that I received from Megan during this. Yeah. I was not in town, so I had to live this like vicariously through Megan's text messages.
Yeah.
All right. Let's find it. this is so good. Okay. The first one was when you told me you were dead in the limited.
Oh yeah.
And then you said, I'm playing blue red control tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, and I didn't get an update until I received, I'm in the top 8, but I'm playing Matt, and he's going to beat me, which is one of the people profiled in your players.
Yeah, in the video.
In the top first Pro Tour video.
Yeah, he went 10-5 at the last Pro Tour. I was like, I'm losing to this.
This guy's the real deal, and he's really nice, so I texted back, take that nice guy to losing town. Then I heard, I won on to the semis, and I was like, reply, on to the finals, barf 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 barf.
Yep.
And I said, oh my god, you could do it, all caps obviously, until I effing won or some s. And I've censored that for the children who listen to this show, but that was the emotional journey I was on, and I was like sitting there because the last message didn't come in until later, and I was like, is it going to game 3?
It's
been a long time.
It did go to game 3.
So I was on the edge of my seat. So Megan, please walk us through your amazing victory at this PPTQ.
So I'll have to tell you, first of all, my day started out horribly, like really bad.
I killed a spider.
In the first round, I mulliganed to 5 in my first game.
Ugh.
And my opponent is on Teamer Marvel and just goes like turn 6 Chandra. And I have seen none of the 12 counter spells in my deck. And I'm just like, yep, fine. Like, it resolved.
12 counter spells. All right.
That could have countered this. Because he didn't, like, Censor is live. Because he just like taps 6 mana and jams it. I'm like, yep, okay. And then he casts Marvel next turn and hits an Ulamog. And I'm like, I'm dead.
Okay, dead.
And then the next game, again, I like keep a hand that has like some anticipates and some glimmers, but no counters. And again, he just like goes up to 6. I see no counter spells. He jams Chandra on 6. Ugh. And I die to it eventually.
Question.
Yes.
So you played this deck not only because you love this deck, but because
it's
pretty good against Marvel, right?
I would say that it is close.
Close?
Yes. I don't know that I would, like, especially earlier in the day, I don't know that I would have called it good.
Okay.
But by the time I got through the top 8, I was feeling like pretty confident in it, actually.
Okay.
I do feel like it is very tight. But with like a little bit of like with a little bit of luck, you're going to get there.
Okay.
Is how I would feel about it. And so I started out the day like real, like I was just in such a down mood because I was like, this is terrible. Like that game was terrible. I didn't even really get to play. And then I got a bye the next round. So I just like got to mope for an hour.
Well, you got your 20 points.
Yeah, that's true. I did have like the upside of like, I got 20 points and I went and bought a cookie and it was like great.
Sounds like a great day to me.
Yeah. So, but then I went on to like, I like won the next one. No, I drew the next one against the other blue red control deck.
Oh.
And I completely effed up and I missed a Dragon Master Outcast trigger, which is like just the noobiest of noob things to do. I felt so bad about it because I had specifically, I needed to not miss it, to not die to the Sphinx of the Final Word. And I just like, yep, I just like went and drew my card. And at that point, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too freaking late.
Okay.
So I had won game one and then I barely lost game two after mulliganing to five because I missed this trigger. And then we drew round three. I got him to one on turn five. I got him to one and it was terrible. But you know, whatever, it happened.
That's a brutal start.
And then I won the next one and then I got, so I was at like 2-1-1.
Yeah.
Out of five rounds. And then I got paired up against someone that I knew who was already dead. They were at X and two, so they were not going to make top eight. So they very kindly just conceded to me.
Oh, that's so nice.
And so I snuck in to the top eight at the eighth seed, which was great because then it turned into revenge of the eighth seed. Yeah, and then my opponents in the finals or in the top eight went Marvel, Teamer Energy.
Wow,
which was super interesting.
Yeah,
and was like a very aggressive deck. But
how did you feel? Like your deck matched up against the field.
You know, I like at the end of the day, I really liked it. Yeah. I didn't start out feeling that way. And I was like, I've made a horrible mistake, but there's like, so I'm playing a version of the deck that has some anticipates and some extra counter spells in it.
Yeah.
Instead of, four hieroglyphic illumination. And I think that that is correct.
Okay.
Because you just need a little bit one, like you just need counter spells. Team, like you can win against Aetherworks as long as you have the right counters for the right things at the right times. And anticipate and having more counter spells just make that more likely.
Man.
And so, okay. There's like a different part of this that I've decided that I wanted to talk about.
Oh,
though,
all right.
Which I think is super interesting. And I've talked about this before, but like sitting down to the top eight, the only feeling that I can really identify is this like certainty that there was no way I could win.
Yeah.
Like there was no way I could win a PTQ.
Yeah.
PTQ. Like I just didn't believe in my ability to do it.
Yeah.
Fundamentally.
Yeah.
And that's like, I feel like I've talked about that before and it's something that I would like, if I had to pick a thing that I changed about myself, it would be that mentality. It really sucks. Even going into the finals, I was just like, I can't imagine a world in which I win this. I don't think that I can. Not because I know anything about my opponent or what they're playing. I just like didn't have that confidence and that really sucks. And I also thought about it in the context of, so this version of the deck that I was playing with these anticipates, I realized that when people, so I had been talking with some other people about it and they're like, I don't know. It just seems more correct to play the illuminations. Like they cycle. And you know, I'm the person who's been playing this deck.
Right.
Who's actually been practicing with it online. And I was like, oh, you know, I guess you're right. And I didn't even ever, I realized that when I talk with other Magic players about what I'm playing.
You don't value your opinion over theirs.
At all. And it's to the point where I view what they say as an opinion that must be correct if it is contradictory to mine.
Right.
And that I must be the person who is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's so terrible because do you know what? At the end of it, I think like I'm right, but it's so hard for me to say that. It's so hard for me to have like played this deck and been like, do you know what? I did like I made the right call.
Yeah.
I think that like it made a difference.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, it's so hard and that really like it really sucks, you know.
Well, I feel like, you know, just being how we are, you know, we've been playing for 5 years, which by the way is not no time.
It is not no time,
but we still have this feeling that we're amateur players, right?
Yeah,
our show is called Magic the Amateur, which is like because we're not professionals.
No, we're not.
But people keep saying, oh, you've got to, now's the time you change the name of your show. And it's like, well, you know, it's not because of who we are necessarily. Yeah. It's about what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we're aiming the show. But like, think of the video you made about the players who made their first pro tour.
Yeah.
This is the same thing that Matt said in that video. He said, you know, what would I change next? Oh, he didn't say this in the video, but this is an outtake. Yeah. What would I change next time? Maybe I'd be a little cockier is what he said, which was kind of a joke. But what he meant was, I should believe in myself.
Yes, especially because at the beginning of the, like when I had interviewed him beforehand, he was like, just sort of like, I don't think I'm going to win any matches, but I like look forward to watching my friends win matches.
Yeah, right? And so it's like, why don't you allow yourself to think that way about yourself too?
Yeah. Like I,
and that's the royal or the collective you.
The collective you. And it's just, it was so interesting. And I mean, like, yeah, it also, it was just something that I thought about.
Everybody out there who thinks that maybe they've got to always listen to somebody else. Guess what?
Sometimes your opinion is right.
You're right. And you also have the right to win a PPTQ or an FNM, whatever you're going and playing, because you put time and dedication into this game, just like Megan does here. And you know what? Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
There is a world in which she won that PPTQ. And it's this one.
It still is so strange to me.
Yeah.
It still is so strange.
Do you wake up and you're like, I want a PPTQ?
Do you know what? Like the rest of the day, I felt like fucking great. sorry for the swears, but like I felt amazing.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah.
You should. It's like this imposter syndrome has worked its way into all parts of our lives.
Yeah.
It's
so true.
I'm speaking for a lot of people for whom this might be true, but like, sometimes you've got to say to you, you've got to look inside your own brain and say, you know what, brain?
Like, hey, jerk.
Just take a nap for a second, okay?
Imposter chill the syndrome. F out.
Just chill out. Yeah, because you deserve it just as much as everybody who showed up to that tournament, even if you've only been playing a week.
Yep.
That's what I think.
So, anyways, it was super interesting. And so I wanted to mention just really quickly, because I think I talked about this back when I played Denver, and I had mentioned, I was like, oh, you know, Prothering guest and now who works at WotC, Andrew Brown, had been watching a match there and was like, had told me to get more aggressive with my wandering fumaroles when I didn't have other stuff to do. And I do feel like if there's two things that were key to me winning, it's one that I feel like control decks are very natural to me.
Yes.
Like it feels, I feel very good about piloting control. And I think it's because I know, like, I'm very flexible with, like, things like taking damage or, like, letting spells resolve that are fine resolving because I have other ways to deal with them. Like, I think I'm good at threat evaluation for control decks. But the other thing was that I got so aggressive with Wandering Fumaroles. There were times when it's just, like, if I looked at my hand and it's, like, I can activate this Wandering Fumaral and attack and still have the mana to cast what's in my hand. Or, do you know what? Like, the bluff value of I have nothing in my hand. I'm going to try, like, your opponent's just going to try and cast stuff into your hand anyways.
Yeah, they are.
And so if you don't have it, like, just activate a Wandering Fumaral and smack them for 4.
Yeah, why not?
Because, like, you need to start killing them if you don't have counter spells. So that was it. Wait, sorry. And one more thing.
Go for
this
it.
This is my most proud moment.
Oh, okay.
Besides the Wandering Fumarals, there was a point when I was playing Matt. And he had a Whirler Virtuoso in play and had made a bunch of Thopters. He had like 4 Thopters and he had just made them. And I had exactly 6 mana up and he attacked. He had just made the Thopters and he attacked me for 4 with just the Thopters.
Yeah.
But not with the Whirler Virtuoso.
Oh.
And then he like played a land and maybe did something like he cast, you know, something not super like not super important, like a Rogue Refiner or something like that, and had cards in hand and had mana up. And I looked at it and I had a Torrential Gearhook in my hand that I needed to cast and I needed it to resolve because I needed to hit the Sweltering Suns to kill, like to wrath his board. But they're like those Aetherworks decks play Censor. A lot of them do. And so I was like, I feel like I'm not sure if he's a 4 Censor deck or not. But it's really bad if this Gearhulk doesn't resolve. But then I looked at his board, and I looked at it, and like Matt, like we said, is a very good player.
Yeah.
He's someone who's going to look at my mana and be like, notice that I only have 6 lands available. And he didn't attack with the Whirler Virtuoso. And I was like, do you know what? Matt thinks that I have a Gear Hulk in hand, yeah, or is like playing around it. And if he had a sensor for my Gear Hulk, he would have attacked with that Whirler Virtuoso. Yes. And there was like, again, this comes back to like the self-doubt thing. I had such a moment of like self-doubt about it because I was like, Megan, there's no way that you can read a situation like that. Like, what are you doing, you idiot? But then I was like, do you know what? That's valid. That's fucking valid. Like, cast this Gear Hulk, and I cast it, and it resolved. So I just was like, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Fuck it. And then I went on to draw Sweltering Suns and Wrath's board. It was great.
Wow.
So anyways, that was another moment of like, do you know what? One, believe in yourself. And two, you know, like, I felt very so good about the read of that situation.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, man.
I think as like people who are, you know, just like underrepresented communities in Magic, kind of have a harder time having confidence when it comes to the game.
Yeah.
And so let this just be an example, I guess, to you out there, if that helps you, that, you know, it can be done and you should have confidence in yourself because a lot of players already have it. And it's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Why can't I just have it too?
You deserve it. God damn it.
Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, so you're moving on. The way this works, you win a PPTQ, you move on to an RPTQ, a regional Pro Tour qualifier.
And it's in August and it's standard.
Oh.
Which I am, do you know what? I also realized, I've thought it for a while now.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm a better constructed player than I am a limited player.
Yeah, I feel
like,
you.
It's just like, it's just a confession. Like, it's confessional. A truth in my soul. Because I realized, I was texting a friend, I was like, do you know what? I practice it less.
And you're just better.
And I perform better at it.
Yeah.
And like,
that's
it.
That's fine.
That's the truth.
That's
the situation.
Fine. I like actually think I'm also better at constructed, but I very, very rarely play it.
Yeah.
But whenever I do, I think I do a little better than I do in limited.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that means. But yeah, that's a fine thing. That's a fine thing to admit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're going to play in August and we're all going to be rooting for you. The top, what is it?
Four
players from an RPTQ go on to the Pro Tour. So everyone,
I'll practice my little heart out.
Get ready to send your good vibes to that RPTQ in August. Where is it at?
I don't know. Do you know what?
Just
did
show
you
up
miss
somewhere.
The part of the story where I didn't think, like, I went in trying to get 20 Planeswalker points and I came out and people are like, when's the RPTQ? And I was like, I literally have no idea.
Albuquerque, here we come.
Woo.
Thoroughly Modern Magic.
Hey everybody, we're just going to talk about a couple of decks trying to make it in the big city.
That's right, they're coming in. Can they make it? The year is 1920. Magic hasn't even been invented yet.
They're all going to be wearing flapper dresses.
And little, what are they called? What are those hats? Cloak hats?
Pillbox hats.
Oh, that's the 50s.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, cloak?
Cloches?
Cloche. Yeah.
Do you know what? I saw a picture of my grandma for the first time this past weekend.
What?
Is that weird?
That is weird.
It is pretty weird now that I think about it. So, grandma on my dad's side, I'd never ever seen a photo of her.
Wow.
She died, you know, way before I was born and didn't actually raise my dad. But isn't that like, this is just total side note, but it was
That's so crazy.
So strange to see somebody who like you have their genes and their DNA. And I read her diary. She had a diary from high school.
What?
From 1926.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
That is so freaking cool.
And I was like, this new window into this person that, you know, and then somebody pulled out this picture of her and I was like, oh my God, I look like her. It was so weird. I'll have to show you the picture.
That's amazing.
But her diary was adorable and said things like, gee, I just had the peachiest time with Marv this past weekend.
Oh my God.
Like, not ironic.
I can't even.
And Marv, like, she wrote about Marv every single day and that ended up being her husband.
That's so cute.
It was the cutest, gosh darn peachy thing I ever read.
Oh my goodness. That's
anyway,
adorable. Okay, wait.
She's wearing a cute little cloche hat.
This is a weird aside. So my grandpa on my dad's side, he and his sister, their parents both died when they were pretty young.
Yeah.
So he was raised by foster parents who are like really great. And I knew them growing up as like my great grandma and great grandpa. But anyways, I saw photos of he and his sister from like when they were very small and their parents were still alive. And my grandpa, his, like, you can't tell pictures of he and his sister apart.
Wow.
Because his mom loved his hair so much. He had this long, like, these curl, like, silky curls. She just curls. Kept it. So she just had him grow out his hair and dressed him as a girl.
Yes.
So, like, and it's only up until he's, like, four or so.
Yeah.
But there's, like, these photos of him when he's, like, this, like, little toddler, but he has, like, this long, long, long curly hair and it's dressed in these, like, frilly dresses.
That was actually a convention.
Yeah, it was, like, a thing.
Because they thought by dressing the boys as girls that death would pass them over.
So anyways, it's so funny to look at them.
I love it.
Because they're these little black and white baby pictures, you know, of like all old timey. Oh, it's so cute. Anyway,
modern.
So modern.
Yeah.
There were so many different deck lists in these top eights, Maria. It's pretty great.
Talk about the health of a format. Modern is like, I'm ready to fight the world.
That's right. So we in Copenhagen, we had Death Shadow winning.
Yes.
And in Kobe, we had Black White Eldrazi.
Yeah.
Pretty That's cool. Great. Pretty cool.
I love
we also had a Lantern Control in the top eight. So wonderful. And an Esper Control and a Jeskai Control in the top eight in Kobe. Like, what a world
what
to
a
live
world
in, you know?
We live
like,
in.
What a place to be alive.
Let's talk about some of these decks.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
They're, like, fantastic. I'm just so happy that these are all different.
Yeah, but Maria, there's one that you want to talk about in particular because it is a new kind of a combo-ish deck that we saw emerge in Copenhagen and is in the top eight.
So this deck has been on the tongues of a lot of pros recently.
Yep.
It's a weird way to put it.
Yeah.
But it's like the hot new thing.
Hot
okay? goss. Because there's a card in it, Vizier of Remedies, which came to us from Amonkhet.
Yeah.
And if you play with this card in Limited, it's kind of a pooper, but it's, you know, it's like fine, whatever, it's a 2/1.
It's like fine, you know, be nice to
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's like fine. It's a 2/1 for one and a white. And what happens if a -1/-1 counter would be placed on one of your creatures, you place that many -1 instead. And the thing that happened was that they decided to use this card to make an infinite combo so you get unlimited mana.
Yeah. And so the way that works is there's this card, Heritage Druid. Wait, where did it go? No, Devoted Druid. Sorry, it's the one I'm thinking of. It's 1 and a green for an 0/2, and it says tap, add green to your mana pool. Put a -1/-1 counter on Devoted Druid, untap it.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you have a Vizier of Remedies and a Devoted Druid in play, you can just make infinite mana. Because Vizier of Remedies says, oh, put a -1/-1 counter on it, but... One
but also
fewer.
Don't.
So in Devoted Druid's case, that's just like none. So you can tap and untap and tap and untap. And it's interesting because this is an effect that wasn't possible before because the card that... So this is just like so interesting to me. So there was a card called Malira Silvok Outcast, which you see in a lot of green sideboards as a way against like a card to beat Infect or a card to fight it. And it says you can't get poison counters. Creatures you control can't have -1/-1 counters placed on them. Creatures your opponent control lose infect. But what's notable is that you look at that and in theory you say that should have worked the same way, right? But it doesn't because what it says is that you can't put those counters on at all.
Right.
And Devoted Druid, in order to untap it, you have to put the counter on it.
Right.
And so Malira Silvok Outcast would have just made it so you couldn't activate that Devoted Druid at all. Whereas the Vizier says, hey, you can activate it, but put one fewer -1/-1 counters on it when you do it.
So this is...
It's super... Like, that just super is
cool.
So cool.
It's a really neat interaction.
Yeah.
I say that now until it takes over the format. But, like, what you're doing with all this... What the heck are you doing with all this mana?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have some Court of Callings.
Sure.
So you can just go and get whatever you feel like getting at all. Once you're able to cast it, once you have this combo going. And you can go get a Ronus the Indomitable.
Yes.
And then you can just pump all your creatures a billion times,
boop,
you know, and trample over for 6 billion damage.
Seems
or however
good.
Much you feel like.
You know, it's interesting to me why this deck doesn't run something like Ulamog or whatever.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
Don't really know why, but they decided Ronus is going to be the one to do it. So
that's true. Although, so the way it works is that, like, something like Ulamog, with Court of Calling, you're not casting it. You're putting it into play.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So you won't get cast triggers, and it has to survive until the next So if you go
Ronus, and get Ronus, there's already stuff out there.
Exactly.
So you can't stop it.
Kill them immediately, which is pretty cool.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, this is a pretty sweet deck and one that I'm kind of terrified to face at Vegas because it's really fast, right?
Yeah.
This combo is not hard to assemble. You only need, well, you need three cards, but they're not hard to cast. They're ones, what is she, one mana or two?
Two. They're, yeah, they're both Druid two
mana.
Yeah.
And then Ronus is only three, so...
Yeah. You have a four collected company, which, do you know what? Like, I just thought of, like, how bonkers is that card when you can just get a Ronus off of it?
Pretty good.
It's just absurd.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, I'll just get this... I'll put this 5/5 into play.
It's cool. Pretty great. We should play with this deck online because it looks kind of fun.
Yeah, it looks like it would be fun.
Okay, so that's...
Although, Counter's like, company. Once you start going off, you're going to have to do a lot of clicking.
A lot of clicking.
But anyways.
Counter's Company, which...
Pretty cool.
I'm not sure about this name because I want to talk about the Vizier of Remedies in it.
Yeah.
Not the Collected Company. I'm done with that card.
Yeah.
What do you want to call it?
Bye.
Devoted Remedies.
Vizier of Recruiting. No. I was thinking of Duskwatch Recruiting. Oh, yeah. Also in there. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway. Vizier of Recruiting.
Yep.
I mean, duh. Vizier of Devotion. Remedies. Anyway, that was one of... Did not take down Copenhagen. What took it down with Death Shadow.
Yes.
Which we all know and love or know and hate at this point.
Know and feel some sort of way about.
Yep. Death Shadow was in that top eight. We had a Dredge.
A storm.
That's cool.
Piloted by known swearer Martin Mueller.
Noted dropper of F-bombs. Titan Shift, which you talked about being interested in.
Yeah.
Living End.
Yes, which was in the finals.
Lantern Control.
Hello, friend. Interestingly, I like that I don't know how I feel entirely, but this Lantern Control has four Leyline of Sanctity in the main deck.
You know what?
Super interesting.
Like, yeah.
You can't be targeted.
This is what I was thinking. If I were to play Boggles in Vegas, should I just main deck my Leylines?
Probably. If you think that there's going to be a lot of Thoughtseizes and a lot of Lilianas.
I think Death Shadow's still going to be pretty heavy in Vegas.
Yeah, I would say so.
So anyway, that was a thought that I had.
Absolutely.
Grixis Shadow.
Yeah, took it down.
It's great. So let's talk about Kobe for a second. White-Black Eldrazi took it down.
That's right.
Eldrazi, you know, we remember the winter, but now we're in the Eldrazi kind of like...
Just tepid. Just
time.
Tepid weather.
Tepid.
The Eldrazi normal.
Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
We had Eldrazi Tron.
Mm-hmm.
So Tron's still out there in a way.
Yeah.
Dredge. We had a copy of Dredge. Jeskai Control. Hello. Megan.
I know. Mm. Oh, interesting running Spell Quellers.
Yeah.
You know, good old Spell Q.
Spell EQ. Here we have Grixis Shadow. Another one in the top eight.
An Esper Control. Wait, go down. Let's just take a look. I need to say hello to this.
Here.
Ooh, four Glorybound Initiate.
Glorybound Initiate? You're in a control deck?
That.
You traitor.
Well, do you know what? This is interesting because life gain is important to control decks. I think that sometimes when you're looking at what are the barriers to making a control deck successful in a format, is if there's no way... if there's no Sphinx's Revelation... It
make
sucks.
Your own.
Yeah, that's something that can be kind of important. So this is like a way to make it happen.
Cool. Glorybound Initiate. Not where I thought I'd see you, but hello, friend.
I know, right?
Affinity in the top eight. All right.
Yep,
Affinity's still
course,
alive and
of
well.
Of course.
Ad Nauseam. The deck I just cannot stand playing against. In the top eight as well. So there you go.
This goes kind of nuts.
So you've got a smorgasbord of choices if you're going to play Vegas.
A sampler platter.
Or any other modern tournament. Like, this just proves that there are so many viable decks in the format. That's just, we love to see that.
Yeah, we really do.
So just pick what's in your heart, you know?
And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel next week, we will have a modern deck tech available.
What will it be?
It will be none of the decks that we have mentioned.
Yeah.
What could it be?
What could it be?
Who knows? I do.
I know.
I wrote it. So I know, but you don't yet. But you can guess. I bet one of you will guess correctly.
I bet more than one of you will guess correctly.
I bet some number of you will guess correctly, and it's probably kind of a lot.
Flavortext Theater presents Blast from the Past, Hanging Out Memories.
That's right. We're going to crack open a pan of...
A pan.
Cax, I don't care.
A a pan of magic cards. If cards came in a pan, you could quickly fry them up, and that's how it opened them, and then they...
A pack of Cons of Tarkir. You're just thinking that because you just made those fried tuna cakes.
I did. I'm on a fried tuna cake kick.
She is.
And before you think it's gross, maybe eat one.
Okay, wait. First, I'm going to tell you a story. I came over to record this episode, and I, like, walk into Maria's house... and there's like tuna cakes sizzling on the stove and I'm like, hello? And then I walk around her house saying, yee, because that's what we do. And I like walk around the whole first floor and then I like come upstairs and I walk around the whole second floor and Maria is nowhere. And then I like get back down to the kitchen and her like phone and her purse are both in the kitchen and these like tuna cakes are still just like frying on the stove and she's nowhere. And I was just like, this is like what
so
like, this
scary.
Is the opening to a horror movie.
The truth is I was in the basement, so I did not hear her.
And I could not hear Maria in the basement, and she like, you know, there's very little reason to be in the basement besides, you know, like cleaning out the cat litter, which I think is what you were doing.
Yeah, it was.
So it was just like, I was just like, oh God. And I was like, I think I wait like 5 minutes and then I start panicking.
That's so creepy.
So anyway.
Anyway.
Trip down memory lane. We're going to crack these packs and we're going to tell you about some times. Some
we had with
memories.
These cards.
We have.
Keep in mind, these cards will go to a patron. We're doing the drawing this
That's
very
right.
episode. So, Gate Crash, man, memories. Ooh, I got an
I
ooze
know,
token.
Right?
So, talk about
Look, I got a morph. Oh, morph.
Morph. I remember morphs.
Yeah, me too.
Let's take this trip down memory lane.
All right, let's.
I'm going to
Okay. Oh, a teamer banner.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Do you remember that time that you and I were lost in the wilderness?
I do.
And like, you know, we were out at a Minnesota state park and we would have never found our way home if it hadn't been for that teamer banner that climbed the highest hill and climbed a tree and just like waved its flag for us to see and come and find it again.
Minnesota state parks, by the way, voted number one in the nation.
Ooh.
Do you remember that time when we saw somebody get murdered and I was like, do you want to see a dead body? And you're like, yeah, this sounds like a movie. And I was like, it's not Grizzly Spectacle. This card was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that
Ooh,
card.
Do you remember the time that we went to Home Depot? We were walking around the gardening section and I was like, you were like, oh man, I didn't realize that there were so many different plants that grew in the desert. Because, you know, we were looking
Cactuses.
At, you know, exactly, some low-maintenance plants. And I was like, oh, yeah, they make blossoming sands.
Low-maintenance plants. I wish that was, like, the sign
the
over
sign.
Them, because that's what I need.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a rare from our pack. This is a blast from the past. Do you remember the time when I was like, Megan, does my neck look weird to you? And you're like, oh, you have, a really weird growth going on. And I was like, oh, no, I must have a goiter. Come on in to the doctor with me to get my goiter removed. It was a biomass mutation. Do you remember? What do you think this card does? Do you remember? I remember, you didn't really play this card. Like, it wasn't
Yeah, no, I don't
good.
Think so. I don't know.
Creatures you control become XX until end of turn. It costs X hybrid green blue. But the art is hilarious because it's like a giant frog and like a giant lizard hovering over the city.
Yeah, it is.
It's so cool.
That's awesome. Okay, do you remember that time when you... you forgot everything. You bumped your head and you
I don't
forgot
remember
everything.
That time, but yeah.
And I like helped you recover all of your memories by telling them back to you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you're like, how do you remember all that stuff? And I was like, oh, I have a cranial archive.
That another art that I just love.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Do you remember when I was like, Megan, we should go to Wales because it's the greatest place on earth and they have a natural resource that lots of people like to put on the roofs. It's called slate. And we were going down an alley and I was like, uh-oh, looks like one of those slate baddies carrying a slate, like hammer and what do you call it, chisel or something.
Uh-huh.
And they're coming at us with that hammer and chisel down the slate alley. It was a slate street ruffian.
Do you remember that time that we robbed a stagecoach with the Ponyback Brigade?
I sure do. Do you remember when I was like, oh, Megan, I really like this person. What can I do to let them know? And you're like, hey, I've got this witch that I go to who gives me secret love potions. And then she's like, what are your favorite colors of mana? And at the time, I didn't understand my true nature. So I said, red, white, and she gave me a Boros charm.
Do you remember that time that we were both so upset by the poaching of elephants, as everyone should be, that we decided that we were going to build a castle big enough to hold every elephant and keep them safe forever? It was an ivory tusk fortress.
I remember that. Do you remember when we're like, Megan, what's on your bucket list? And you're like, seeing the Pope. And I was like, absolutely.
That sounds like me.
We're going to the Vatican. And we went there, but they wouldn't let us in because they're like, you two look like some magic playing heathens. And we were like, no, we're not. Let us in to see the Pope. And we extorted the guards for money. They were the Basilica guards.
Do you remember the time that we were having a fight, but I was like, I'm not going to fight right now. So instead I put you on a boat on the Mississippi. And just pushed you out to the river.
Good solution.
You were set adrift.
Yeah, I do remember that. Do you remember that one time that there was a card in Magic called molestation in French, but in English it's called mugging? True story.
Hey, do you remember that time that you were driving and I was like, Maria, don't hit that snake in the road, and you swerved and you went to the right of the serpent?
Megan, do you remember that time when, after you set me adrift in a boat on the Mississippi, I looked at you with a killing glare?
Hey, do you remember that time when we went to your childhood home and you showed me all of the places where they had marked your height on the wall and you were like, look, I'm still getting taller. You were having incremental growth.
Yeah, I do remember that. Hey, do you remember that one time when, there is a song, who sings it? Backstreet Boys or something? Quit playing games with my heart? I don't know. I feel like, is that even older than that? Anyway, but you were singing it while you were in an airplane. Sky Games. Playing Sky Games with my heart.
Do you remember that time that we were in Denver and we accidentally said something that was deeply upsetting to a lot of people from Colorado, and then they just like took whatever was in their hands and threw it at us, and then they charged us? It was a barrage of boulders.
I remember that. Do you remember that time when you were like, I've got a hankering for some honey? And you were like, the best way to get fresh honey is to go out into the woods and find a hive. And you did. You went out there, but you had to smoke the bees out, right, to get the honey.
Yeah.
So you had a torch and you just accidentally set the hive on fire.
Yeah.
And there was some angry ember beast there.
Do you remember that time that we were getting super drunk, but you weren't like, you were like kind of hanging back, and I was like, Maria, time to you need to just like step up to the plate. You need to kill that shot.
Do you remember that time when we went back in time to Noah in the flood, and you're like, what would happen if he didn't save all those animals, and instead we just got brand new animals, fresh start, and you took a hammer and you smashed his boat? It was a scatter arc.
Do you remember that time we were sitting around trying to think of the new multi-million-dollar idea, and we were like, what about women's garters, but they look like ties, and we were tie-gams scheming?
Do you remember that time that we were like eating a bunch of off-brand Twizzlers, and then I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I tied you up in a chair with all of these? And you're like, haha, that would be funny, hinder vines.
Do you remember that time that I set you adrift on the river, but then when you got back, I pretended like it had never happened, and I was like, Maria, what are you talking about? I would never do that. You're having paranoid delusions.
Do you remember that time that after we did so many of these, our show imploded on itself? Yes. And it was a structural collapse.
What great memories we have.
Great memories we have. Ooh, that's a foil paranoid delusion.
Yeah, it is. It's a foil incremental growth, too.
Cool. Well, everybody, it's the end of the month, and you know what that means?
It's time to pay your rent.
That's right. Pay your rent and get paid by Magic the Amateuring. What?
That's right.
In cards.
And sick playmats. In fact, our new patron drawing this month is for... Look at this Kali Tash playmat.
So cool.
This is like... I forgot about this one.
Yeah, but like, looks
it's
great.
Really good. Close up, this art is so baller.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Okay. So anyways. The drawing is for the cards we've opened in Flavor Text Theater going to one person. And you're also going to get
a couple of packs. A
couple packs in there as well.
And some cool tokens.
Tokens here from the Vegas Art Show. Remember, if you're going to Vegas, check out the Magic Art Show. Here we have a zombie and a soldier. Those are going in there as well.
Very cool.
And of course, some packs, as we mentioned. So the winner of all time could be somebody new, and it could be somebody who's been donating for a long time. The winner of these cards for May is Michael Yon.
Nice.
Happens to be a new patron. So yeah, it could happen to you.
That's right. And the winner of this playmat plus this pair of sick Card Kingdom battle decks.
Awesome.
Designed by Chris Van Meter.
Yes.
And this sick Kalitas playmat. I don't know if I already said that. Maybe I did. And these sick battle decks from Card Kingdom Megan's designed by Chris Van Meter. And this
Christmas. She's in a loop! It's Laura Blenny from the UK.
Woo, hey, awesome. Laura! Congrats, Laura.
So thank you so much to everybody who's a patron and everybody who's joined our Less Than 1% family. You are the best than 1%. And tune in next month because you'll have a chance to win some more cards, some more sick swag. We're going to refill our swag coffers, as it were, to have more stuff to give away.
Oh, no, the swag coffers are running low, kids. Better
don't worry.
Get out on the streets and find some sick swag.
I bet old-timey newscaster will help out.
Of course he will.
So, yeah, I'm going to put these in a little box and send them on their merry way. Head on over to patreon.com/MTAcast for your chance to win all of this awesome stuff and support our show. Because, as we said, we're making more stuff and it really matters to us.
It really does.
If you're a patron. So thank you again, of course, to Card Kingdom for not only supplying us with these sweet battle decks, but also for sponsoring our show every week and being the awesome place that they are, including shipping a Muppet who arrived unscathed.
Amazing. You'll get to see that Muppet someday.
Yes, you
Aren't
will.
Aren't you excited?
And if you haven't went over and subbed on our YouTube channel, head over to youtube.com/MTAcast. Also, check out our sister channel, MTA Plays, if you want to see Legacy Boggles in action piloted by Cube April. It's really something to behold. Yeah, so
really,
check that out as
really
well.
Is.
Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Listen on iTunes, our website, magictheamateuring.com. We've got shirts for sale. We got playmats for sale. We got magnets for sale.
Yeah, we do.
Are you kidding me? That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what also is good stuff?
What?
You.
Yeah.